This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Moses, Willie.
I'm talking about the new niggas.
Oh, my fault. Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't know we were going NN.
Yeah, I don't know all those. I don't know the old people.
I was like, old people? What about Ian Edwards? That's just a mirage for you? Or?
No, I know him, but he's old school.
He's different era.
So you're saying this is the NN?
Like in the last like 5 years.
Yeah. Last 5 years?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're counting. We're at six.
We don't count Darwin.
One a year.
Yeah, one a year.
I like this.
The Comedy Store would like you to know that the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are strictly those of the speakers or authors and do not necessarily reflect or represent the views and opinions held by the Comedy Store and its affiliates.
I bet they don't even know Darwin Hines.
No. That's Have you ever heard of that? Part.
Me.
Who was that?
He was one of our favorites.
He was the token black guy that Tommy, the old racist talent coordinator, used to put on the lineup. And he'd be like, well, I had to put one on.
Jesus,
and then the
Tommy.
Moment Ian started performing here, he never got a spot again. And he was so, the dude was so bad
was
at
really
comedy.
Bad.
That's fucked up.
He was so bad at comedy that like the comics were like, we loved watching his terrible comedy. So we'd be like, hey, what happened to Darwin? He'd be like, well, we got Ian now. We don't need him. Like,
yeah.
I mean, that sounds racist as fuck.
His name was Darwin?
Darwin Hines.
He actually was funny.
He wasn't funny.
When they asked what happened to him, nobody said survival of the fittest?
No.
His name was Darwin. How could comics miss that joke?
God damn it.
That is a good joke.
Darwin.
We did miss it quite a few years because Darwin's one of our favorites.
Man, I don't like Pope Benedict, man. I don't like him.
You're making me feel like one of those young kids that like listens to rap but doesn't know who Rakim is.
Ooh. Well, that got me angry
don't
for
you
a
know
second.
You don't know Darwin?
Okay. Know your history. Well, speaking of history, this is the Comedy Store podcast. It's about
did
the
we
B
start?
History. Yeah, look, they plugged us in and left. Oh,
man,
there they are.
They didn't even count us down or nothing.
There wasn't even quiet for silence or no shit like that. They don't even care anymore.
I mean, now Darwin's going to listen and know that I don't respect his comedy style.
Is there a reason that we don't have the headphones on? Is it like a ringworm?
You can put them on, but I believe it could have ringworms in them.
I mean, where
and
there's
or
no wipes?
There's crackle. I used to bring wipes, remember?
Yes,
I brought them a few times. Guy Tori brought them once.
always buzzes. Yeah, it was.
No,
Guy brought his own headphones.
Oh, that's right. But somebody else brought wipes, and then we had Sebastian on, Maniscalco, I brought wipes because I thought he would want to wipe down.
I'm glad y'all did this because they've tried many iterations of a Comedy Store type.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we've been doing it for a while. They've just been ignoring us.
Yeah.
But I think it's good. It's better for it to be paid regulars doing it because when it was the door guys doing it,
it's very uncomfortable.
I mean, we were doing it for years before that even happened.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
I was screaming at Eric. I'm like, people are saying I already did the Comedy Store podcast because they talked to a couple door guys in the basement. And I go, wait a minute. Like, we really try to.
Well, that's the thing.
Because
I did it when I was a door guy.
Yeah.
And it was too. The power dynamic is too off for you to be able to be. Have a real fucking conversation, you know.
Yeah,
you're so worried about because you're a door
you don't want to
does he respect
them?
Me?
Like, you don't want to offend them. You don't want the management because I remember we were it was Hassan and me.
Yeah,
on one of the episodes, and that's another thing we changed that off every week.
Yeah, I did it twice, and each time it was a different guy.
Right. So it was Hassan and me, or Hassan and I, whatever, and
whatever you want to say. Not a lot of political.
And I remember
correct.
Bill Burr was down here.
Yes,
right, and you know he can get the talking. You know,
yeah.
And so he was down here for maybe 20 minutes. And then it started being people at the door signaling and all that. And he kept going for like maybe another 10, 15 minutes.
He's like, no, you got me going.
And then when he left, they yelled at us because they were like, if it takes too long, then nobody's going to want to do it. And I was like, yeah, but you want me to cut him off? And they were like, and I was like, he was talking. And they were like, yeah, but he's not going to remember that it was his fault. He's just going to remember that it took a long time. And I was like, so then how the fuck are we supposed to do this? Because I can't tell him to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and that's ridiculous.
Can you imagine, Bill?
Not to mention.
You're a little bit of a talker. Yeah, shut the fuck up.
If it has,
can you nip it in the butt? And if it has a couple questions.
Anything to do with comedy, you just let Bill Burr talk as long as he wants.
Exactly. Like, why do I tell? How can I be? I'm new to comedy. I'm new at the store. I'm a door guy. How can I fucking tell Bill Burr that I've had enough?
Every time.
Bill, could you wrap it up?
Every time Bill walks in, he'll be like, "That's that fucking guy."
Because here's the wild shit. None of them people standing at the door had the balls to come in here and tell me.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then they just yelled at me about not doing it. So then I was like, and then the next one, I think I was interviewing Bobby Lee.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And he was fucking with me. And after that, I was just like, I'm not doing this shit. Because I come in here on my, you have to come in on your day off.
Yeah.
So I'm coming in on my day off. I don't get the clock in. And I never know what my interaction is going to be with these people, you know? Because I know they see me as, I don't fucking know you, door guy. You know what I mean?
So it's right.
Like, that's how they see me, and I've been here for 18 years. Yeah. And they're like, you're not someone.
So now this is official.
Yeah. It's been,
this
though.
Is real.
Okay, that's the weird part. You're just like 153 or
episodes?
4.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not like, that's what I'm saying. That's why we were arguing with them, because they're basically ignoring us. Like,
they're promoting Argus
Hamilton
show
our ass.
That 9 people have seen worldwide.
And they call it Comedy Store tonight. But ours is the Comedy Store podcast. So people are like, oh, is that the Comedy Store podcast? Which one's the...
I don't understand that either.
Listen,
Argus, but I don't think he's the face of the Comedy Store at the moment.
Well, I'm never going to say Argus isn't a part of the Comedy Store.
He's
helped put the fucking thing together. But
it's not what's making the Comedy Store
exactly.
The Comedy Store.
Right. I mean, is he interviewing people from like back then?
Yeah,
sometimes.
Of the above.
Okay.
But what's weird, he'll get I did it, and it was me and Bruce Baum. And so Bruce Baum is from like the
old
70s,
school.
Early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But then like sometimes like he had Amir Kay on. I'm like,
right.
That dude's not even a comic here.
I mean, he's a comic here, but he's not a regular.
He's not a paid regular.
Right.
So it just seemed
funny,
No, we love Amir. Yeah. It's just like we're trying to like keep the ridiculousness of the Comedy Store stories alive. Like there's some crazy wild stories that people tell. And that's what we've been doing, like talking about the actual history of this place. And Argus is just doing the Tonight Show.
He's doing
show.
A Tonight Show parody, basically.
Which I love, because that's what
now,
we always wanted to do.
You went on vacation recently, is that right? And you're like, oh no, he's doing setups. Was I supposed to do a pre-interview, Argus? I'm so confused.
That's funny.
But that's what he loves. But I just wish they would have called it, like I've told Eric and I've told Michael a million times, I wish they would have called it Argus Hamilton, the Comedy Store Tonight.
Yeah, or just called Argus Hamilton
Argus
Tonight.
Hamilton.
From
he's
the
still
Comedy
Argus
Store.
Hamilton. I'm not taking anything away from him. We're really promoting
just
the shit out of him right now.
Yeah, I just wish they would call it canceled ASAP.
Damn.
Just tell Argus he partied too hard and he lost the shot.
Oh, damn. Did I do that again?
Of the funniest mean thing to say.
Constantly.
Well, when I did the Door Guy podcast, as long as we're on the subject of mean things to say.
I'm excited.
One of the times Isaac interviewed me.
Oh, yeah, Isaac.
And it was like...
I had to think about that for a second.
Yeah, it was... like I felt like I was being punked because it was like, what made you want to do comedy? I was like, wait, is this really what we're talking about?
Are you sure it wasn't Feng Chao?
No, if it was Feng Chao.
Why do you do comedy?
I don't know if you know your Asian.
If Feng Chao would have been like, how fucking great is pussy? Right?
I don't think they would have put Feng Chao in charge of anything.
Yeah, that's.
Do you know that Ryan O'Neill right now is trying to convince Feng Chao that it would be great if he went out as the Rice Man instead of the Dice Man?
I'm liking that.
And showcase for Dice to get on his tour as the Rice Man.
Oh, that would be so funny. He'll never do it.
Oh, no, he's like, okay, I do it. Tonight he was yelling at me, telling me
for the O'Neill brothers.
So he's doing an impression of Dice, but
he's not. It's just O'Neill wants him.
Brian
O'Neill's breaking his balls. Like, just do it. Just tell Dice you'll be the Rice Man.
Hickory,
Dice will like it, and
Dickory,
he'll take you on the road.
Doc, I would like to see him do full nursery rhymes. Riddle Boy Brew.
Wait a minute. That's not how it goes. But wait, so we have to introduce you because we're terrible. We just kamikaze'd it, which is normally how we do it.
That was mostly my fault, though. Yeah.
Nah, but that's how we do it a lot. Because we're comfortable with you. Yeah. So this is a Comedy Store podcast. I'm Eleanor Kerrigan.
I'm still Rick Ingram.
That's so good of you.
Yeah.
And we have Brian Simpson with us.
It's me. It is I.
Very exciting.
You were a door guy here first.
Very briefly. I got fired like 5 months in.
Yeah, I remember.
Are you serious?
I just remember you worked here and people were excited. And, you know, this is not a knock on all the other door guys, even though it clearly is. When you started working here, the general word was, hey, they hired a door guy and he's actually funny. And it was like,
I think that was the beginning of them hiring funny door guys.
Yeah.
Or at least it started.
Well, now you have to, I mean, you always had a showcase to be a door guy, right?
I mean,
sometimes we just hired people.
During the Tommy era, it was literally just if Tommy decided. And I guess he would have showcased you by watching you in the open mic.
Or at least asked if you were a comic. How long have you been doing comedy?
It's been 9 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay. See, that's the thing with these door guys. They're coming out with years under their belt, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So you come in as a door guy. You got fired 5 months in.
Yeah.
What'd you get fired for?
The short story is I was just not good at the job.
Yeah.
I didn't care. It was just that by the time I came up here, I had already been a doorman or bouncer for probably 5 years.
Yeah.
So by the time I came up here, I was just over it. And I told them that when they hired me. I was like, I don't know how long it's going to last, but I hope it ends on a good note, you know? And it did. It did. I didn't get fired. Because, you know, as long as you don't cost them money or hurt somebody.
Yeah.
Because
they thought I was funny, so they liked me. But it was like, you can't work here.
Yeah, yeah. Adam's obsessed with you, which is great.
I love Adam.
But so you do the phones, too, though, right?
Nope, never did the phones.
You never did the phones?
I never did the phones, and I never did anything that involved tips.
Okay.
I stayed away from the lot and any shift. I never worked the OR.
Terrible.
It's because I didn't want to argue with people over money. Because, you know, I just wanted to work. I just wanted to work,
become a part of the family.
Yeah, and then get out
and
before,
do your
before
comedy.
I did something that cost money.
Right. Or hate the place.
Right.
That's
exactly
the other thing.
Well, that's the danger, right?
Yeah.
I tell all the door guys, like, don't work here too long because then you start to resent your shitty minimum wage job, which is what it is.
Yeah.
And then that minimum mixes wage with your comedy, which you love. So it's like you get this, it's this mind fuck every time you come in where it's like you love the place, but you hate the place, you know?
And if you've been here, and some of them have been here longer than that, but if you've been a door guy for 3-4 years, then they're basically going to see you as a door guy and if they haven't passed you in that
long
amount of time.
They stay too long, I think.
Adam's not watching.
Guys. Yeah.
Adam's not seeing some guy and being like, well, I've been watching him for 7 years and he's ready. It's literally just when he goes up, he's like, no, I've never passed this guy and that shit didn't happen.
Well, I think all the people that Adam hired are
under his radar a little bit. A little bit more so. I think because I'm thinking of Ari. And Ari was here a long time before she passed him.
Yeah, he was like close to a decade.
Almost 7 years, I think. Yeah. A little over. Like a little longer than
Garrett
Shandling,
I think he showcased like 60 times.
So I don't think that they see you as a... Like, it's just that you get into that, I think, what you're saying, where they come here and they hate it, but they have to be here. But they're just in this like angry kind of thing. I don't know, but... Some of them are really, really good.
Yeah.
And I'm like, damn.
And what I think, too, that's probably new, too, because I don't think that this is not somewhere to develop, you know, like anymore. Like, you have to be funny already when you get here because you don't get the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's different.
Yeah.
You don't get the time that you don't get, because I mean, your guaranteed spot is that OR spot every Monday. And then everything after that is like, you got to, because that's happened to a lot of people, too, is they come here and they get caught up in the prestige of being a door guy, and then they don't go do no mics, they don't go do other shows, and
right,
they only do their time here. And it's like, you're doing 40 minutes a month.
Yeah.
You're not going to get good.
40 minutes a month. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that's
hilarious.
That's if you get a development spot every week.
Right.
Yeah.
Know? So it's like, at most you're doing 20 minutes a month, because you probably get one a month. So
yeah.
So it's like, you're not...
That's
going to
take
a
long time to get to 10,000 hours.
When I worked here,
no bullshit.
When I worked here in the early 2000s, we didn't even make minimum wage. We got $25 a night, and
that was a real
shift
thing.
Was from 7 to 2 in the morning.
No,
There wasn't anyone.
There were some, but there wasn't anything to steal.
Because there's no crowds here back then.
We didn't have any audience.
You
know,
but you got stage time because open mic was Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday.
Oh, wow.
So you got a spot every one of those nights, and then you got to go up in the belly room. And I got passed. I was still a doorman.
And I wish they would bring back another night and just one more potluck night.
We had Sunday and Mondays for a long time, but then they started making money on Sunday, and they were like,
yeah, fuck that.
Fuck the open mic.
Yeah.
But it was good because that was my development because Danish and O'Neill, myself, we would flip-flop with the hosting for like a good 2 years when I first started. Like we would go on and off. We would have Sunday and Mondays and we would just, the three of us would like work out who was doing what nights. And they got mad at me because I think I had Mondays for a long time. And they were like, one time I had a switch with Danish and he came in and he did it. And he was like, fucking Tommy's not here the whole night. And I'm like, oh no, he's doing the lineups with Mitzi.
Oh shit.
He's so mad. I'm taking Mondays.
I feel so lucky that I got into the store when I did, like right as the revival was happening.
Yeah.
And then I never met Tommy. I still don't know who he is.
Okay. So you're lucky.
I never had to deal with him right away.
Hey, Tommy. Yeah.
Well, it's not just that, okay? Mm-hmm. He came here and developed comic. We don't need that here.
Hey, that's a great thing, Tommy.
Tommy would have not liked that because he wanted everyone to owe him for what he did for them.
Well, I feel bad for the guys that he hired and then
fucked with. Taunted.
No, and then Adam, like then a new regime comes in and
they didn't pick you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like.
And like Tommy's thing was he basically told everyone, you're one of the next guys.
That's what I mean.
It was not like we've had like 10 people be like, and then, you know, Tommy told me I was going to be next. I'm like, yeah, Tommy told a lot of people they were going to be next.
And you got to start over and prove yourself all over again as a whole new person.
Yeah. And then like.
That happened to Jeremiah.
Adam will be
Watkins.
Like. Yeah.
That's what delayed him. He would have been right in, but
and Adam will go, I don't really like him. He's a Tommy guy. Like, yeah, understandable.
Yeah.
But Tommy's whole thing was just it was all power because he was basically a fraud in a position he never really earned.
Yeah, you're talking about the ultimate finesse. He finessed the shit out that position. Yeah.
And he was trying to like recreate what Mitzi did or become her
what he thought she was.
So like
it was like power trips and stuff and you're like just
he takes full responsibility for Whitney and Whitney Cummings and Chris D'Elia's career. Full
Andrew Santino.
Crazy.
Like he was posting
it
on someone's Facebook page. I created Whitney. I created Chris D'Elia. I created Andrew Santino. I created Brent Morin. I think those guys might have had something to do with their careers.
Why don't you name the 50 other people you missed on?
Right. Yeah.
Cause, well, you know what it is, I think we missed, because I never met Mitzi either. So
right.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Year did you start here?
I came here in 2015. I started here in 2016.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What year are we in?
2019.
Scary for me.
Yeah. Well. No one will ever have, because people respected her and were afraid of her. Like people at every level, even the
terrified.
Famous, the legends,
they
respected her in a way. Whereas I don't think that's ever going to be there again, no matter who the talent
court. It won't.
No.
But it was such a different thing, though, because Mitzi was a pioneer in that there weren't a bunch of places where everyone wanted to go up back in the day. It was this place.
Yeah,
and then they opened other clubs, but it was still like the Comedy Store. If you're in L.A., that's where you want to be. And then like when I showed up here, you couldn't pay people to come perform at the Comedy
Store.
Right,
and they would make fun of us. They were like, oh, it's all inside jokes there, and it's all dark and seedy. And it was.
And there was legitimate Friday nights where we couldn't start the OR show. It was supposed to start at 9. We couldn't start it until 10:15 because we didn't have 6 people in the audience.
Yeah.
And what do you think was the biggest turnaround, the biggest reason? Because from far away, it looked like a whole bunch of things, but I have no idea.
But wait, you were doing stand-up for 9 years. Where were you doing stand-up, on the East Coast?
I was in San Diego.
Oh, in San Diego. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Did you work in La Jolla ever? Or?
No. Worked at the Madhouse down there.
Oh, okay. Whoa. Oh,
but they fucked with me in La Jolla, but I couldn't go out there because, it's different now, but when I first started, the way they ran their open mic, and I don't drive, so I was always on the bus.
Oh,
and it's like,
okay.
I would have to get out of class and catch the bus all the way the fuck out there, and it's like, if you weren't in line, you didn't get a spot. You had to be. It was like first come.
Yeah, right? That's how they did it at the Laugh Factory
and
too.
And I would always miss it. And then you know, when people don't know, when you're a new comic, people are like, "Fuck out of here! Stop asking me if you can go up." You know, it's like, so I just was like, it's not worth my time. So I just never went at first. But but the Madhouse hired me. But that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because when I at the Madhouse, they were new. They had just opened up, and so
did Robert hire you?
Yeah, Robert hired me, they let me do everything.
Yeah,
there were nights where I was literally selling tickets, seating people, running the sound, and hosting
the
show.
What we would do?
Yeah, that's old school comedy story.
So it's like, I would learn, and I hosted the Comedy Juice, and I hosted the open mics, and then by the time I was like maybe a year or something in, and I was featuring on the weekends, like doing 30-minute sets, like real soon.
That's awesome.
And so I just got so much fucking stage time, and I was like, I don't need to go anywhere else.
Yeah. You know? Well, you're spoiled. You're like, oh hell yeah.
I mean, I was getting like 3 or 4 hours of stage time a week. You know.
Oh damn.
Yeah, that's great.
Like a year and a half into comedy, I was just going up every night, it's constantly.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, doing all that, getting that much time in, because people always ask, well, what do you got to do to get good? It's the time.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
can get the time. And we would have to drive to get longer spots.
Oh, yeah. That's
like,
what
you
I mean.
Couldn't
yeah.
get longer spots in
yeah,
town.
Yeah, I would get the longest spots I could get locally were here. And I'd get, like, my 15-minute spot once or twice a week.
Well,
and then,
yeah.
And then I'd do fallouts where you get a 10-minute or whatever. But then, like, if I wanted to do 20 minutes or more, I would have to drive to Riverside with wheels.
Yeah, Riverside.
It's crazy, too, how people don't, like, here, people don't believe that you can do more than...
Because they've been
programmed to believe that this is the way it is.
People lie to them, though. People say, I can do this, then they go do it, and they can't.
Right.
It's not good. They have a solid 8 minutes. And then they go and they have to do, say, 25 or 30. So it's just pulling teeth. Yeah.
And it's weird. That's why the industry pisses me off sometimes, because when they do these showcases for these big things that's supposed to change.
Oh.
It's like it's just for laughs.
Yeah,
and shit.
1 minute, 2 minutes. You know what I mean? And it's like, how can you decide who the best comic in the room is in 2 minutes?
Yeah, well, they decide off of their checklist. Do we have a black person? Do we have right. a gay person?
Or,
do we have
and
a long-haired white guy?
Yeah. Do we have this management
yeah.
people in? Do we have
right,
that agency
right.
people
I thought,
in?
I thought, at least, but at least just for laughs, don't pretend.
Oh, yeah, they're very
like,
open.
Like, you know, did you know, remember, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but Laughing Skull just got, they caught a bunch of shit because they didn't have no black women. Like, they put out a poster.
I saw that.
With all
yeah,
the people
yeah,
that
yeah.
got it in, and it was clearly, like, the first thing you notice is, where are all the black people? And
like, no black
and it's
people
in Atlanta,
are black
too, right?
Women.
There were no black women. There was,
it's
like,
women,
six black
right.
dudes and no black women. But the point is, their response to the criticism was, hey, we have a diverse panel. We it's a blind submission, and we pick people only based on merit. And it's like, anybody that's been in the industry long enough know the goddamn well ain't nothing based on merit.
yeah, yeah.
That's a fact.
It's all about who recommends
you.
Know.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong. It's like, I know some people get in on merit alone, but I know
very rarely.
I know six or
very
seven
rare.
People personally that got in, and it's all about oh I knew the dude,
my manager,
or, oh such and such
yeah.
wants to fuck me, or yeah. you know what I mean, or I sold cocaine to that guy, and so it's like, don't act like it's just a fair process.
Yeah.
Look, you let a bunch of people put their thumb on the scale when it was all said and done. There wasn't no black chicks, and now you try to justify by acting like it's all fair, straight up the middle. It's like, just get some black bitches in there. Like, you didn't...
just toss three
yeah,
in.
Just fix
by
it.
By the like, way, that's a great way to say it. Get some black bitches in there.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Amazing.
It's like, don't act like you can't just massage it, because that's
yeah.
everything here is about who you know.
It's all who you know.
Yeah, who knows you, who you connected to, who you associated with.
Yeah.
And talent matters, but you know what it is to me? It's like talent is gold blocks, and rep is credit. And either way, you can make it with a combination of either thing. But it's like, credit is dope. If you got a high credit score, they'll give you the same shit they'll give me for walking for in with gold. Two blocks of gold.
That's hilarious.
But don't try to act like, oh, no, we just giving it to the people that have the most gold. No, the fuck you ain't.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. Yeah. And that's a fantastic analogy, too, because there's a lot of people in this industry that are living on credit.
Oh, yeah.
All day.
When that shit run out, that's the difference.
That's called white privilege.
Yeah, you can keep gold under your mattress and be good in 10 years. But with that credit, that shit run out. Yeah, they'll take it from your ass, you know?
If you don't start making gold with that credit, then eventually your credit card's going to be like, yeah, we're cutting the
maxed
credit.
Maxed out, buddy. You're all maxed. But, yeah, I tell everybody, it's 10% you have to be funny.
Yeah,
you have to learn the rest of it. The business, there's a whole nother. Like, I used to wake up every morning and be like, all right, what would Whitney do? Because Whitney's the best at the business.
Yeah.
Like, she was so good. And we all kind of, like, started together. She might have had, like, maybe 2 years before me because she was doing it in D.C. and or on the East Coast. But I had no, like, I wasn't, I was just like, oh, okay. All I knew was what I knew from the comedy store.
That's the mistake I made.
She was so good at the business. I used to be like,
dude, 12 years ago, Dalia was featuring for me in La Jolla.
Shit.
And since then, he has released 6 comedy specials, been on 3 TV shows, and so I got diabetes in that same amount of time. So, yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. Yeah.
Which number?
Number 2.
He's a oneer.
Yeah.
Oh, you like late stage?
Yeah.
That's happening a lot lately.
I got juvenile diabetes as a 27-year-old.
No, it happens. It's starting to happen a lot lately. You're not the first person I met who have late stage. But I made the same mistake. When I was in San Diego, maybe when I was like 3 or 4 years in, people... And I was hosting Comedy Juice a lot. People would come down from L.A. and they would see me and go, man, you need to move to L.A. And I was so afraid to come up here because I was like, I just want to be funny because when I get up there, I just want to be a piece. And I did. I got funny. I got super funny.
That is good.
And then I came up here and then I was like, oh, you have to learn. That's why people were telling you to come up here sooner, because you have to learn Hollywood. You're good at comedy, but you got to get good at the game. Mm-hmm. You have to be good at both.
Yeah.
Right? No,
yeah. Like,
no one cares.
Really good.
I'm open micer at business.
Oh, yeah. For
still.
Sure.
Like, I barely got 3. And
I still hate it. Like, I just now recently got representation, and it's like, I'm so glad that I got the manager that I got, because she's totally
into you.
She's totally into me, and she's totally willing to, like, give me step by step because I'm so bad at that other shit.
Yeah.
So she's totally willing to, like,
this is what you need to do.
Right, you need to do A, B, and C in this order right now. She doesn't like cringe when I tell her, like, I don't know how to do that. You know what I mean? I've never put together a packet. I've never, where do I get headshots? Why do I need that? You know what I mean? Like, she's so patient with, like, helping me. She doesn't do everything for me.
No, but
she sounds amazing, because I don't know how to do any of that stuff either.
She's fucking kick-ass, man.
Like, I've gone to other comics. If I got a packet, like a writing packet or something, and I wanted to submit it, I'd go to, like, Ian Edwards or Jeff Danish and Ryan O'Neill and be like, hey, this is the show me yours. And then I'll show you what I wrote, you know, and then I'm like, oh, that's, you know, I messed up my Chelsea Handler because I thought, oh, I know what I'm doing. And then I wrote all what I thought was these great jokes. 2 of the people I wrote about were dead. I didn't even know it. Anyway, if I would have asked somebody, they would have told me, Chelsea really liked when you added, like, a video, or, like, it's just little tiny things like that. Whereas I had a manager that had other people on that show or knew that and could guide me through I would have gotten maybe closer, whatever. But my thing wasn't even
regarded.
It was just like, yeah, whatever, this is terrible.
Every time someone's like, hey, why don't you submit a packet for that show? I'm like, I honestly don't even know what that is. The show? And I'm like, the show or
a
packet?
They give you a breakdown. No. They give you a breakdown of what you're supposed to
do. Paperwork has always been.
But it freaks me out, paperwork.
Yeah, dude. Like, because I was, you know, I spent my first life in the Marine Corps. Most of the success there is based on paperwork. I mean, tremendous amounts of fucking paperwork. And that's how I knew I didn't want to be a Marine, because I watched people excel that way, where they just knew how to fill out the right form and when.
Wow.
And how many points it would get you on the scale and who was getting promoted. Because it's like the way they promote people is like they know in like 6 months these three people are retiring, so it's gonna be three spots. So if I submit my paperwork right now, you know, it's like
I'll be on top of the pile.
Right, and I'm just one of those people where it's like everything is a packet in the Marine Corps. Everything is a
holy
packet.
Holy shit. Everything I did not know that.
Yeah. Everything. That's crazy. I mean, you want a fucking screwdriver, you got to fill out, and I'm not exaggerating, you got to fill
no,
out
I
six
hear what
forms.
You're saying.
You know what I mean? You got to fill out six forms because a copy has to go to each person, and everybody wants an original. So you got to fill out six forms, file them in the right place, put them, and if one thing's wrong, it's going to get sent back. And you got, it's like you have to, everything is a form. Everything is a packet. And I just was like, I can't do this. I will not excel at this. I'm good at everything else. I'm good at the physical, the shooting, the job.
I can't imagine my dad filling out paperwork.
That's what I was thinking about my grandpa.
He was a Marine too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ask him. It's all about them packets and shit.
I didn't do shit, girl.
But he
That's
probably
what
had a secretary
say.
Or something, right? Was he, what was he, how long was he in?
He was in during Korea. I don't know how long. Many,
oh, yeah.
Good question.
Yeah, my grandpa, same thing. He got drafted, and then he just joined the Marine Corps because he didn't want to be in the Army.
Well, shit was probably different back then.
Yeah, he joined the Marines so he can kill people and not have to go to jail for it. So everything's working out.
Yeah, there's no way my grandpa's filling out paperwork.
You know what's happened? You know,
I'm an excellent at paperwork.
You know what happened in a long time? Well, one, I was in an air wing, so that's a whole different thing with a bunch of equipment and shit. But two is like every unit has a budget, and every at the end of every fiscal year, which I think was in October.
Okay.
It would be this race to spend all the money.
So
because if you didn't spend all the money, you couldn't ask for more money. Because like, oh, you didn't spend all the money you had. Why you need more money, right? So at every fiscal year, every
inflated
year
budget.
So I feel like for years and years and years and years, it's been this. Because you know what it is? What happens is people, whenever somebody gets power that can't handle power, which is most people, they feel like they have to do something with it to justify having it.
Yeah.
So even if shit is working just perfectly, they like, you know what? We need an extra form right there.
Yeah.
You know, so then after 10 years, it's like it's 10 forms
now
that was
so
added
forms.
By 8 different people.
Right,
for no reason.
Right.
Just so they could, so everybody knew they would left
their
mark.
That's my fingerprint, yeah.
Right. So, and people do that around here too.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, why are you changing?
I was never in the Marines, but I worked a lot of restaurants. And I always refer to that as restaurant manager syndrome.
Oh, yeah.
It's just people who've never deserved to be in charge of anyone or ever got anyone's respect for any other reason.
When I got out the service, somebody told me this in the service. And when I got out, I worked at Intel, and then I worked at the Pentagon, and then I started doing stand up. And what I know,
normal path, everyone follows.
Yeah. Right. but in all those situations, it was always true. 10% of the people have no fucking business being there at all. 10% of the people know what the fuck they're doing, and everybody else is just watching those 10% try not to lose their job.
Yeah.
It's the same in comedy. It's the same in corporate America. It was the same in the military. It's like most of the people here don't 10% of these people don't fucking shouldn't even be here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Josh Nassers and whatnot.
10% of the people are fucking killers. And everybody else is just doing an impression of a comedian.
Right.
Yes.
Right? But you can make money. Like
A lot of people are doing good with their impressions.
Yeah. I'm not hating on those people, but it's like, but everybody knows the who the fucking killers are and who the people are that they're just
gonna
make a living. Oh. You know, I used to get mad at those people, but now I'm like, you know what? They know something I don't, you know.
Right. You can learn from them.
You sure the fuck can.
Yeah.
When I started, I was naive enough just to think everyone in comedy was some super funny person that was like, I need to do this professionally.
Oh, no.
But then,
no.
Basically, working here for like 3 months and watching people go up, I'm like, most of these people aren't funny at all. They literally just figured out the formula.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. Just,
how long ago was that?
That was 16 years ago.
Yeah, because I'm here too long. I'm here since 93. So I watched people that had this act, literally just an act, and if they had a stretch, they couldn't because they memorized 20 minutes.
Oh, God, that's terrifying.
And, like, we had the one guy was on it, 15 minutes, whatever he had, like, his best whatever he gave in that 15 minutes, and there was no other comics here. And at that moment, it was the early 90s. I don't think there was any door guys that Mitzi approved that we could put up, and we were all panicking, running around. And the manager, I said, well, just stretch him. And the manager looked at me, he goes, what's he going to do, start over? And I go, if that happens, I want to see it.
Yeah, no bullshit.
So then it became a joke, like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And then somebody would show up and he'd be like, oh, here's your next comic. I never saw anybody get so excited.
Thank God. I don't have to keep going.
Possibly going to have to stretch.
It's like seeing the Coast Guard when your ship going down. Oh, there they go. Fuck.
But that has since gone away. There's a few that still try to do that old school kind of, I have my act. This is my act. Yeah. I don't vary from my act. This is what I do.
I was arguing with somebody about that recently. Like, I'm not going to put their business, their name in the street. But
it's too easy to see. Yeah, so we have a disclaimer.
But there's people that think, because we were arguing about the merits of those late positions.
Ugh, you know? The late spot.
Because some comics don't like them because it's the shit spot or whatever, right? Yeah, it's like, I mean, I don't prefer...
Who wouldn't want to go up in front of a giant crowd
but to me, it's like those spots are like, I described it like
the growth spots.
It's like you know how sometimes Superman would have to fight without his powers, like Lex Luthor would have kryptonite or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, that's what it is. It's like when you go up in them spots, it's like your regular shit ain't working. The shit you know by heart reciting, it ain't working.
Nope.
It's like, what do you do then?
You have to be you.
If you a comic, because you're going to eat shit a lot.
Yeah. But
every now and then, you're going to have a fucking awesome set when there's fucking 10 people in there.
And you're going to pull something out of your ass that you didn't know was there.
And that is, to me, that is what makes you...
That's the path to greatness, man.
Yeah. That's how you get good.
It's like, why you think Dave Chappelle, when he pop in,
he goes late.
Yeah, he pop in at 1:30.
So does it tell?
He could easily, nobody's stopping him. He could easily pop in at fucking
9:15 and do 3 hours. And
nobody would bat it out. He'll pop in at 1:30 and stay here till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
I know.
But he likes that kind of feel of like, these people are tired. These people have seen everything.
Yeah.
And now I got to bring something to the table other than my celebrityism.
He's so fucking famous that's the closest he can get to a challenge.
I was going
to
say, if Dave Chappelle shows up at 10 o'clock in front of a packed room, they will literally laugh at every syllable that comes out of his mouth.
So it's like, you can't get
a good read on it.
I've told the story before, but Robin Williams came in 15 years ago, and someone had like a benefit show going on in the main room. And everyone was super excited, like, oh, Robin said he's going to go up. And he went up in the main room and just destroyed. And it was cool just to, like, watch, like, oh, that's, you know, he's crushing. He's still got tons of energy. And then he goes out in the hallway and someone was like, hey, do you want to go up in the OR? And there was, like, maybe 15 people in there. And he was like, oh, yeah, sure. And so they put him up next in the OR. And he went up and he was doing basically the exact same set. And it was just silent. It was like midnight in the OR, and the crowd was just kind of like, eh. And then he got about 5 minutes into a set, and he was like, sometimes I forget that people laugh at me because I'm famous. And then I come into the original room, and I'm reminded that I am not a funny comedian most of the time.
That's
like,
so good.
Like,
but that's exactly how it really is.
Can I ask y'all, I don't know if y'all know, like, one of my favorite comics.
Who is your favorite comic?
I don't know if I could pick up one favorite.
Isn't that hard?
But yeah, I think that's dumb, too. It's like, it depends on what mood I'm in.
Because everything changes.
Right? But somebody I really, really, really respect is Whoopi Goldberg, and she never comes here. And I just wonder, have y'all ever seen her? Has she ever popped in?
I've only seen her when Richard Pryor was here. I've never seen her perform here.
Jesus Christ.
But Richard Pryor was doing every Wednesday. First, he was doing Monday, Wednesday, Fridays for a year when he was pretty sick at that point. Mm. And he brought it down to only Wednesdays. And every celebrity would come out of the woodworks to see him.
Because they knew it was... going to be
hurrah, if you will. But she sat in the original room with Mitzi, and they laughed like cackling old ladies. Like, it was funny. Like, you know, just like, because she did her one-woman show in the belly room. Whoopi, I can't think of the name of it, but it was one of my favorites. What the hell is the name of the one-woman show that made her famous?
I can't remember.
My brain is dead. I can just think of the characters.
She was the first.
So good.
She was the first, because she looked... My mom looks like her a little bit, right?
Okay.
And I remember her. She was the first black woman I saw on TV.
So for you, that made... Whew,
yeah, I was like whoa. What the fuck? And it was like... And I remember that she was saying things that, like, people didn't say. Like, she,
yeah.
Like, they was let, I was like.
Her character was like, how so let, spot
why
on.
Why is she getting away with this? You know, why they let her get away with this? And then Jumpin' Jack Flash.
I was about to say, one of my favorite movies is Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I remember watching it as a kid. My parents would always let, my house is the house in Kansas City where all the kids could gather and watch rated R movies.
Okay.
And so, like, most of my friends had religious parents who would never let them watch that shit. But my parents just had a VHS of everything, so we would just watch over and over. But when in Jumpin' Jack Flash, when she goes, I got shit that would make your dick fall off. I remember thinking it was so funny. And then for like weeks at my like middle school, whenever I'd see certain friends, they would say that shit. I got, you don't want any of this. I got shit that would make your dick fall off.
<That's>
I was like,
funny.
God, she's so funny.
She is.
I was,
man,
obsessed with her. I think she's terrific.
I wish she would come back to performing.
I never saw her perform here, but she would come in like during a few times she came in during Richard.
I just want to meet her.
Yeah. Her, Chevy Chase. I mean, it was like a who's who of everyone that would come and just sit and watch Richard. It was kind of cool.
Yeah.
Now, do you like Richard?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like Richard, but I didn't learn really that much about Richard till after I started stand-up.
Okay. Interesting.
So
I'm an 80s kid, so I came up when he, you know, his albums were hot.
I mean, because Whoopi was the first black woman I saw on TV, and Eddie Murphy was the first. That's the first thing I remember
Eddie Richard,
ever seeing.
Yeah.
Is Delirious.
Yeah.
And but I love Carlin too. I love Dom Herrera.
My favorite. Dom, also one of my best friends.
So that's how I start. So Dom, when I was still in the service, me my platoon, we were at Hooters in PD.
That's exactly where you should be fighting.
Yeah, and we ran into Dom Herrera. And he
naturally
he saw we was in the military or whatever. And he told us to stop by the show. And I don't know if it was I remember
his family's all military, so yeah, he gets excited.
And I don't remember if it was in La Jolla or where, but it was somewhere in San Diego he was performing. And I remember us going there, and I'd never been to see a live show before. And he fucking destroyed this place.
So good.
I mean, I cried. I was crying, laughing.
Yeah.
And then he came out and did an encore. You know, he did an extra 20 minutes and was even funnier than his hour.
You're saving up his good shit.
Right. I was like, he got four.
A pro. Right. And, a pro's pro, Domin.
And I remember after that, I think that was the first live show any of us had been to. And I remember after that, everyone kept.
What year was that, do you know?
It had to be somewhere between 03 and 06.
Wow, that's killer.
So then after that, I remember everybody in my platoon kept telling me I should try to do stand-up, you know. And I wrote a joke. I wrote a few jokes, actually. But I was scared. I was just
yeah.
I didn't try until.
Oh, so you weren't doing it at that point.
No,
yet.
No. I was, whew. And I remember when I got out, in 2006. And I remember at my going-away thing, they had set up a little thing and they tried to put me on the spot.
Like, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They set it up with niggas like, all right, Brian, do your thing, do your routine. I was like, oh, fuck no. And it's weird because at the height of my like tough guy-ness,
yeah,
I was terrified to bomb in front of my friends. You know?
Oh, who wouldn't be?
So
I'm still terrified.
Like, right. I never understood people when you start like, the first few years when people would be like, yeah, I got like seven of my friends coming out tonight, I'd be like, why would
friends?
You want your people?
Dude, every new comic that asks me, I tell them, don't bring your friends through.
And
they never listen.
Yeah.
They never listen. And I was scared to death for my friends to see me.
Yeah.
Every time, like when I.
Especially the Marines, you guys are razzing each other, like
fucking
breaking
ball.
Balls all day. Dude, I'm from South Philly. My friends will throw shit at me if I'm not good.
I did comedy in Kansas City for a little over 2 years before I moved out here. And when I was moving out here, everyone was like, what are you going to do out there? I was like, I'm going to do comedy and, try acting and stuff. And they're like, have you ever done it? I'm like, well, yeah, I do it every week. And they're like, what? And people are like, why didn't you ever tell us? We would have come and supported you. I'm like, I don't want you to see me doing comedy.
That's
fucking
amazing.
Stanford and Sons in Kansas City. I'm up there doing those shitty impressions that I used to do and stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It
would have been terrible.
Funny.
Dude, I'm 9 years and my mama still has never seen me.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get away with that. My mom's like, I want to see this.
Well, no, I'm sure she's seen my tape. You know,
okay.
But she hasn't seen it live because watching the tape ain't the same as live, you know?
Yeah.
But it's okay because I feel like the longer it takes, the better I'm gonna be when she sees it.
So, are you from San Diego?
No, I'm from DC. I'm from PG County, Maryland.
Oh, okay, yeah. Nice. Yeah. I know you had an East Coast vibe. That's why.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
like,
yeah. I'm an East Coast guy. I mean, I'm never going back.
But, amen. But I try not to go at all.
Weather,
I'm not from
why?
There.
Because of
be
weather,
there.
Or just because of all kinds of
it's
shit?
Most, it's mostly the weather. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just because I just
the fact that there is weather is bad.
Because when I got out, because I was out here, right after high school, I was out here for the Marine Corps, and I was in San Diego the whole time.
Oh, and San Diego.
Right, and then I moved.
That's just
then
like
I moved to
being
Oregon.
Being with the hottest girl in the world.
Yes, yeah, it's hard to go back. So, I moved to Oregon, and I did the
Oregon.
Yeah, because that's where Intel's headquarters was.
Oh, okay.
And then I got a job back home at the Pentagon, and I when I first got there, when that winter hit, I told my mom, I was like, "Mom, if I ever lose this job, I'm getting the fuck out of here." And she thought I was playing. I got laid off. I was gone a week later.
What did you do in the Pentagon?
I was a technician. Same thing I did in everywhere else.
Okay, because my cousin Billy works in the Pentagon.
He's
a Marine, too.
Facilities resource technician.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, my cousin
that's
Bill Parker.
That's some technical shit.
It?
That means he can't tell us
no,
what
no, that's just a fancy name.
I think he's what's that no. rank? Is it? I forget. He's a big, high-ranking Marine over there.
Well, it's because if you ever hear a big fancy title like that with technician at the end, that motherfucker's just a worker bee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because the engineers are the smart people. The technicians are just smart enough to follow the engineer instructions.
Follow the rules, yeah.
So
yeah,
the engineers don't do the work, but they do the thinking. And then the technician is the one that goes and lifts shit. And,
right.
You know what I mean? So that's all I did was just what the smarter people told me to do.
No one likes the smarter people, though. I learned
bullshit.
That a long time ago.
Everybody else that worked there had a college degree. And it was like, I could teach a fucking child how to do this.
Yeah.
You know, but it was like.
But did you get a college degree in the service?
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope, I didn't get anything.
He wanted to be a comedian.
Yeah,
well, there's
smart.
No reason.
I mean,
I got a GED. Hooters. I don't even have a high school diploma.
Good for you. At least you got your GED.
Yeah.
I have a high school diploma.
I just thought school was always fucking stupid.
It was.
I was smart enough to do it, but I was just like, and I was, see, I was.
Some people just have that. They can't deal with that.
Well,
I get it.
I was a foster kid, right? So
okay.
I would change school so often that it was like, you know, sometimes I would try, and then I would move to another school, and it didn't count.
Yeah, you were like,
it's like I'm not doing that shit no more. It's like, I'll listen, and I'll absorb the shit you're saying, but I ain't doing all that motherfucking work. You know? And so all my teachers, if you go back and interview any of my teachers, they'll all tell you how smart I was, but it's like that motherfucker was lazy.
He wasn't motivated. And you're like, maybe it's because you guys all teach bullshit.
I would literally take naps in school.
I love that. So did I. Yeah. I was a professional at it, by the way. I could sleep through the entire thing.
And I remember going one time. I got moved
it's
to
not
the.
Not really a good thing.
I started going
it's
to
impressive.
Like the rich
it's a skill.
The rich people school.
Okay, what does that mean?
Like it was like
exciting.
It was all the prep. It was all the white kids with BMWs and shit.
Wow, like a prep school.
A lot of lacrosse players.
No, it was a prep school. It was just it was in another.
Just a nicer area. Was it public still?
Yeah, it was still public.
Like a 90210.
It was just in a nicer part of town where it was like. All the kids had cars,
Oh, wow.
And they
got
to leave campus for lunch and all that, right?
You say campus. Now I know you're talking something real.
And I remember getting there, and I got in this math class where you needed the calculator.
The graphing calculator?
Yeah, you needed the fancy joint. And,
Rick's real smart. It's annoying.
I got one, and I remember the teacher. But I'm like halfway through the term, right? And
yeah.
So I go to the teacher, and I'm like, I've never used one of these. I have no idea what's going on. Can you just give me a crash course, blah, blah, blah? And she was like, no. And then I explained it. I was like, actually, I don't know if you understand. Like, I'm a foster kid, and, like, I was placed here. Like, I didn't do anything, you know, and I'm just in this situation, and I'm trying to catch up. Can you just give me a booklet or backup? And she was like, no. She was just such a fucking cunt about it.
Wow.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Like, now, see, that's where I would start, like, losing it and like, okay, I'm just gonna knock her the fuck out.
No,
like,
that's what they want you to do.
That was my thing, the anger.
But then I just started skipping school, and then one day we got caught smoking weed in the woods. We left school to smoke weed, and the school cops had cameras set up in the woods behind the school.
Smart.
And they had a picture of me with a blunt to my mouth.
And you were like, you know.
That's why you didn't get the booklet.
If the calculator would have been explained to me, I wouldn't have to be here.
Yeah,
right
when they put me in the office and they tried to get me to rat on my boy because they knew we were all smoking, but they didn't have a picture of him.
Right. You know?
And they trying to get me to snitch on my boy. And I was like, why don't you get at that fucking teacher that wouldn't help me?
Yeah.
You know?
I love that you just bring that up. Like, yeah, it has like, nothing to do with
the... trying to get it. Just hit me with the, well, you know, young man, if you're going to have a future, and we know which one of y'all is really the deviant, because he was a deviant and a bad influence. But that wasn't what he hadn't, like,
but
I wasn't
still not
going to
throw him under the bus.
He also knew where the camera was, so he wasn't hitting a blind where I could see him.
Right.
That son of a bitch.
He kind of wedged you out there.
Dude, I had That's one of those graphing calculators, and I didn't really know how to use it. And there's like a memory on it. There's like a little computer, basically. And so my pre-calc teacher would go through
this
and...
is calculus?
Yeah. Whoa. Would make sure that like you were using the programs or whatever it was he wanted. And so he was going through, and I would start panicking. So I'm like, I never put any of that shit in there. I don't even know what I'm doing with this shit. And so he got to mine, and I had the only thing I had on it was I had loaded a bunch of games that my nerdy programmer friend had developed and put them on his calculator, and they put them on mine. And it was like I had like Tetris. I had like Tetris on my calculator.
The worm game.
Yeah, worm. Yeah. And then I had
you can do that on a calculator.
I had a game called Drug Wars that he developed, where you travel from borough to borough selling different kinds of drugs, and the price goes up. And he goes, what is this? And then he sent me to the office because he thought that I was keeping track of the cocaine that I was selling. And keep in mind, this is Kansas City. He thought I was traveling around the boroughs of New York selling heroin and cocaine. And he's got evidence of the drugs he's selling on there. Wow. And so then the principal's like, all right, I'm going to talk to him. And he's like, what is this? I go, oh, my friend made this game. It's like you're a drug dealer, and you travel around New York and try and make as much money as you can. He's like, on your calculator? I'm like, yeah, I'm not.
Even the principal was like, I don't even have to do this.
I'm not paying attention. It's pre-calc. I didn't care.
Pre-calc?
Like my pre-calculus class was in the auto tech room because the teacher was such a chain smoker that he couldn't make it through a full period without smoking.
Oh, shit. So he's dead now.
Oh, he's Mr. Ringer's long dead. So we would be
Mr.
in
what?
Ringer. Oh. Al Ringer. He looked like an actual frog. I don't know how else to describe him. He had That's giant hysterical. Marty Schottenheimer glasses and just this scrawny. Looked like a dude who was dying of lung cancer
That's
for
amazing.
A decade. But he would teach like for 15 or 20 minutes, and he'd be like, all right, we're going to take a little break. Then he'd go over and just open the garage door in the auto tech room, just smoke his cigarettes over there. And we're all just like, what the fuck are we doing?
That would have
but
been
I was
me
playing Drug Wars. Yeah.
That was before secondhand smoke scared
exactly.
the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
It was always weird because then there'd be like the auto tech kids who were like on open period or whatever, just over there trying to fix a carburetor on a car while we're in a pre-calculus class.
She
was absurd. And then they'd be like, so, are you interested in taking calculus next? I'm like,
no.
If I need to know any of the stuff we learned this year, then I probably shouldn't be because I have no idea what we're talking about.
But I am going to be a drug dealer, so thanks for that.
I do know I can make $100K in heroin.
One of the schools I went to was called Crossland, but it was one of those. It was maybe one of the
Crossland?
Last. Yeah, it was one of the last like vocational schools.
Okay.
And you know what? All them dudes that took vocational shit are making money, and all my friends that went to college are fucking working at Starbucks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like in
vocation schools were great.
Yeah, they would teach you how to be a barber, teach you how to be a mechanic.
If people understood, first of all, the whole system is just set up to make tons of money for the banks,
right?
Which means college loans and debt and all that bullshit. So that's why they want us to go to college, even
though
I would say 70%. Okay. 70% of people have no reason to be going to college.
We're running out of time?
No, I'm next. Someone's not here, so.
But we're just going to.
Yeah, you can keep talking.
It out. Well, is that cool? Are you afraid to be alone?
No, I'm not
me?
Afraid. I'm wondering why they didn't fucking put me in if somebody in here.
somebody canceled. Somebody did put me in, coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, vocational schools. Like my brother Johnny went to carpenter school.
I wish someone would have taught me to be a mechanic.
Yeah.
That's a skill I could actually use, even if it was just to fix my
Johnny's
own shit.
My brother Johnny's not a carpenter, but he did go. He looked good in the outfit.
Okay, whoa, are you from the South? What's going on now?
No, we tease him. Like him and his best friend Rosario went to carpenter school.
Rosario.
They would work on like, let's wear the big construction boots, you know. And we used to call him GQ Johnny. Like he would just go out like all dressed up to class, but he was just trying to get girls. He didn't care about really learning.
That's what it's all about anyway. Yeah. I mean, as soon as I realized college bitches weren't into
that's
me.
That's true. That's true. I have six brothers, so I'm aware of it. But my sister Karen went to hairdressing school while she was in high school because my mom made us go to Catholic school. So she went to an all-girl Catholic school, but then would get like a half a day to go to the vocational Bach. It was called Bach, and it was a public school. They had it in there. So she learned to hairdress while she was in high school.
And now she's making all that bread.
Well, she was doing that for years, but she switched it up. She went to insurance. That's a pain in the ass to be a hairdresser. See, but for years, she was making good money.
I would have loved, looking back now, like there's no reason why I was taking advanced mathematics class to do what I do for a living. Yeah, so but it was just like my parents being like, you should try and get as far ahead as you can. You're going to need it for college. And me being like, I guess you go to college. Okay. But like, I don't even know how to change the oil on my car. I tried one time to change my girlfriend's oil in college, and she was like, I need you to change my oil. I was like, I don't know how to do that. And she was like, what? Just watch a video online. I'm like, all right.
So I was taught how to do that. Well, the first time my Marine friends, they taught me everything. They taught me how to drive.
I believe that.
All that. And the first time I changed oil, I was like, I'm glad I learned how to do this, but now I'm going to pay a motherfucker to do
this. Yeah, I'm not doing it.
Because I
know. It's 1999. Yeah,
right. I know what's going on, and I know that I don't want to do it. Yeah. You know?
Well, she basically made me feel like I wasn't a man. And so I was like, fine, I'll fucking do it. I watched the video. I'm like, psh, I got this. And I changed the oil in her Geo Storm. And she called me like 4 hours later. She was driving somewhere, and she was like, my car is burning on the side of the road. I'm like, yeah, well,
I was
Jiffy
hoping.
Lube wouldn't have done that to you.
Hey,
you wanted a real man to change your oil. So
that's funny.
I'm not a Jiffy
still
Lube fan.
Still no idea why she cheated on me to this day. No idea.
Rick, you never brought up the burning Geo. Now I know why she did it.
Fucking storm.
God damn it. She's something else. Look at Danny's down here stealing them. Yeah, I think Funch is canceled tonight. So we all moved down 15 minutes.
Oh, okay.
That's the. So were you wanting to be a comic as a kid?
No.
Never, right? Like, that's mm-mm. me, too. Isn't that weird?
I thought I always wanted to try it. But no, I didn't want to try it until I was. Because I wasn't a funny kid.
Okay.
I was a very serious person. That's why, like, my family don't even take this seriously yet. Because
they're like, what is he doing?
You're a comedian. Because they still don't know that I'm, like, I'm legit, like, a professional. Comedian, right? Because they haven't. Because I think most people are like, if the TV hasn't said your name, then you know. So it's like, and they also
that
know me as a very
really made your family sound kind of country.
Well, no, I'm just like they're not very country, but I was just a very serious kid.
Yeah.
I was not a joking.
Yeah, so you weren't. I was a goofy kid, but I never wanted to be a stand-up.
No,
I just thought, you know,
I thought I was going to be a poet or a rapper. Or
okay,
something.
So but you I'm, had real bizarre dreams. No, I'm kidding.
No. Honestly, my only dream was just to get the fuck up out of there and like come back successful.
Ooh.
You know, but then I got the nice little corporate job and I fucking hated it.
Yeah, I can't imagine you corporate. Yeah. I can't imagine me corporate. So when I see other people doing it, I always look like, oh, that must hurt.
I think I started just to sabotage myself. Like I was just like, I fucking hate this. I was making good money, good hours, but it was like I was just working and not doing anything.
Well, you're just something's not. You weren't satisfying a certain part of you,
right?
So it was.
I just
bugging
needed,
you.
I needed what I was doing to mean something.
There you go.
You know, and it's like I went from the military where like they tell you everything you do means something, even though that's kind of debatable. But you feel like it, like you have a purpose. Then you get out and you like working at McDonald's or doing whatever, working at some corporate factory or something. And he's
yeah.
like, if I died right now, this company would keep moving. Nobody would die.
Nobody.
Nothing serious.
I always said that. Like people would say, if you left the Comedy Store, it would fall apart. And I'm like, no, it wouldn't. This place has been here forever.
Oh, yeah.
It's always been falling apart. It's always been a problem, but it always still stands. Like,
yeah, this place ain't going nowhere.
It's the same shit, but they meant like, because back in the day, like you were saying, you have to do everything at the comedy club in San Diego.
Right, right.
The American Comedy Club?
No, the
Oh, no,
Madhouse,
the other one, Madhouse. I'm sorry. So you would do everything. Well, that's what I would do here when I was a waitress here.
Wow.
Like I would do, you know, if the toilets were overflowing, I was doing that. If the manager couldn't figure out how to, set the alarm, I would set the alarms. You couldn't turn the lights on, I would turn the lights on. Like every single job I did here, but I only really wanted to wait tables and be an actress. So I had no interest in comedy. I used to get annoyed that I'd have to watch comics. But it was such a lax job that it was easy enough to come or, you know what I mean? Like come and... Yeah. Like you were asking earlier what the turnaround was, and I truly think it was, you know, cleaning it up, getting rid of it. Like Eric Anderson and Adam Egan are truly responsible for the turnaround because, I mean, Adam was already here as a manager, but when they cleaned house and got rid of Tommy and kind of like cleaned up the BS that was happening here, they, you know, made it a real place. So, no, get lax.
So, what effect was the bullshit people having? Was it just did that just make certain people not want to come around? Or
yeah, because it was just like, I mean, we had people that would run shows here that would like also sell weed, and so like, you know, they're trying to sell tickets and weed at the door. Like it just, so it was always shady. It always had some kind of shady element to it because Mitzi, her health was declining and she wasn't here as much. See, when she was coming in, things were fine-ish. It was still dead because she refused a lot of things. She didn't want to change. You couldn't get lineups. We couldn't put lineups out. If a manager would call or an agent would say, hey, can I have your lineups for the week so I could see who's performing? She would go, no, they're going to come and steal my jams and jellies. I'm like, what? And she was like, those are my comics. And I'm like, yeah, but they could get famous or work, you know, from another. And she wouldn't let them. She's like, they're here to develop. Like, that was her little thing. And so, no, she wouldn't advertise, nothing. So we were like hustling, selling tickets and stuff on the street. We had street teams. We had promoters that we would send out. There was no social media, obviously. But instead of paying for advertising here and there on radio and whatnot, she would just have young comics run a street team and go basically like they do in New York, bark and sell the bunch of tickets. But then that turned into a whole scam, so we had to stop that.
Damn, everything turns into a scam.
But that's what I'm saying. The greed and the idiocy of putting comics that are in a desperate spot already
in charge of money.
Right.
I know.
So that's, you can't do that. It has to be professional. As much as we want, like she would always be like, oh, he's a comic, he'll do it for $25. I'm like, no, he doesn't really want to, nobody can live off $25 a week. So he's going to rob you. Yeah, and she didn't care.
Yeah.
Even when she knew they were stealing from her, she's like, it's okay. She would say that, like, for certain people. I mean, but then she would find out how bad it was, and she'd be like, get rid of him. I'm like, yeah, but you... Mm-mm-mm. She goes, I thought he was taking, like, a couple dollars. You know, it wasn't like...
Oh, right, right.
Like, they were reselling those tickets, and sometimes they were, like, the tickets were $10. They were selling them for, like, $5 to somebody, and then taking them back and selling them to somebody else for another $10. Like, it was just... It was hundreds of dollars that they were stealing. Like it was really building up, and I was like, fuck, people were coming with the same tickets they already sold to somebody else. Like it was so bad.
Oh my God.
And we just had to honor them because we were like, fuck, how many tickets are out there? And it took us years to be like, God damn, you still have this ticket? Or did you dig this person up? Because he died 4 years ago. But that's how it was. It was so shady here. And there's like comics that still won't come back because they're afraid of this place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are afraid of this place. But you know what, though? I think some of that, though, is it's like some of the reputation is residual, you know? Because there's new comics that are like, I don't know, I heard stories. And I'm like, no.
But, let them hear it. Keep them away. We don't need them.
But also,
no, I'm kidding.
I think a lot of people are just intimidated, too, by the fact that... Well, this is an intimidating place, especially when you're new. But also, there's a clear defined hierarchy here.
Absolutely.
And a lot of other places in town, they pretend like there isn't a hierarchy, even though there is. And so everyone will like be supportive or at least talk to you that way.
Yeah.
And there isn't a list that's saying you're ninth, you're tenth.
right.
You're not on this list. You know, mm-hmm. you're in that other list. You know what I mean? It's like here the Comedy Store will tell you what you are.
Yeah.
And I think some people can't handle that because they've never experienced that.
Yeah.
And because it's intimidating.
Especially
for people that have like been in the game, mm-hmm. been on the road. And then they get sick of that road shit or get sick of getting on the minimum and they decide to move to LA and they come here.
Yep.
Nobody gives a fuck what they did wherever they were, you know.
It sucks. I mean, I have people high up, I have people in the middle, I have people low that ask me all the time, "How do I get in the store? How do I get in the store?" He's like, you know, and I look at them like, "You got no shot, buddy." I mean, I hate to say it, but it's like I feel bad, but they've been doing great things for a long time on the road and whatnot, but that shit's not going to fly here because the bar was raised too.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you have to ask how to get in the store, then you're not in a position to get in the store.
Right. That's true too.
You have to already know the right people. Because that's what I'm saying. Like,
how did you get in the store? Because maybe then people can hear that.
How did
get
I
excited.
Get in the store? Well, Asan. Well, I knew Asan was my friend from San Diego. And he started working here first.
Yeah.
So he won the showcase or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And he started working here first, and then
he won the showcase where like they had something in La Jolla or
no? They had a showcase here. He drove up here to do the showcase.
For Adam. Okay.
And I don't know if he won.
Right, because he used to be a door guy in La Jolla.
I think he did work
or
at La
something,
Jolla, right?
Yeah.
But in any event, he won the show. Well, the first time, he did work at La Jolla because the first time I came up here, he said he was coming up here from La Jolla, him and another comic, mm-hmm. and he just let them think that I was. So I got a spot based on them just assuming I worked at La Jolla, even though they didn't know for sure.
Right, right.
And then he started working here, and then they knew me already, so I got a spot on Potluck. And then that first day I got a spot on Potluck, did well. That same night I got pulled on Kill Tony, and I did really well.
I tell everybody to do Kill Tony. Yeah.
And then I got a couple more friends and family spots, and then Adam saw me the next time I was here, and he was like, "Hey. Come back next week. Let me check you out again." And I came back the next week. Then he was like, "Yo, start calling in."
Yeah.
And then I started calling in, you know. And then I would get, you know, a couple spots here, a couple spots. So, but I just made sure I did
well.
But
development. Like, he wanted you on his radar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but it wasn't development. It was really just showcasing.
Of course.
That's what I'm saying. It ain't about developing no more. It's about showcasing.
No.
You know,
yeah.
It's like every spot I try to do, because I had enough material where I made sure I tried to do something different every time, and I try to
smart.
Do my good shit every time. I wasn't coming here practicing. You know, I was going to open mics
smart,
and practicing.
Yeah.
I was coming here with shit that worked. And it was still, I wasn't afraid to do new shit here, but it wasn't going to be some shit I just thought of. It was going to be something.
Right.
I ran by five or six mics before, you know? So that was my whole thing. It was just showing him, like, I'm past ready.
Right.
You know?
I'm for real ready.
Yeah. And then I think, and then he asked me to be a door guy. And I did. And most of that time I was homeless. I was in a homeless shelter.
Oh Jesus!
Yeah. So the whole time I was working here, I was in a homeless shelter. And when I got fired,
my God,
he was so mad when he had to fire me too, because he was like, "I should have never fucking hired you." Because when you get fired, you automatically banned for 6 months.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you banned from the property for 3 months. You banned from spots for 6 months.
Who in the hell came up with that rule? I don't remember that.
From what I was told, it hasn't always been those amounts, but that's always been the case. And I think the reason is, it makes sense when you think about it, it's the reason is that they don't want getting fired to be nothing. Because if you could still get your spots, you'd be like, fire me then. I'm still going to get my spots, you know? So
there's got to be some kind of repercussion. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Because you sure the fuck ain't losing no big money.
Yeah.
Getting fired.
Well, because, I mean, Mitzi, if she fired you, you were never getting spots anyway.
Right,
you weren't getting spots. So there was nothing. She would come in, and Rick and I, we always joke about it. She would say, "All right, I want to see all the door guys." And I could always tell when she asked, as a waitress, when she asked to see the door guys, because I'd see people scatter. And I'm like, fuck,
Like, there's people standing at the door, like customers that nobody was seating. And I'm like, where'd the door guy go? But they were hiding from Mitzi, because if she said, I want to see all the door guys, they'd go up. And if they weren't good, she'd fire them that night, mid-shift. She didn't give a shit.
Yeah, so, but that's your time to shine.
Yeah, some people made it through.
Go up
Most
and smash
people
that
did
shit.
Not make it through.
Damn.
Because they were new. That's what I'm saying. They were newer comics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, like Rick somehow got passed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, he had 3 minutes of material, got passed, did a 15-minute set in the main room that the light was broken. He was dying up there. This is like he had like 4 impressions that he would do. So he's like basically just pulling shit out of his ass that was bombing unbelievably. And then she put him back, like, you know, put him in, like, okay, we'll put you in the belly room, we'll develop you a little more.
Oh, wow.
Because she realized, oh shit, he can't even do the full 15.
Oh, wow.
But most comics couldn't, so they would just be at the store learning / you know, getting on those open mics and stuff. And then she would be like, all right, but what if you had a bad set? Like, you go up, you think you're killing, but in her eyes,
I don't know.
She was Nutty Butters like that.
But I just never thought about it like that. I was like, because you know what it is for me? Every single time I have to showcase, I'm ready. Like, I'm not going to
buy. No, that's good.
I'm going to kill a showcase. Like, because you know what it is? When I started in San Diego, I was fucking crazy. I was a crazy person.
I love that.
And I would, because because you know how every comedy club owner is fucking crazy?
Mm-hmm.
And what happened is Robert would, like, I would be seating people, and he would just at the last minute be like, hey, you, I need you to host tonight, or I need you to feature tonight.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? So being new,
like, okay.
I was like, so I would walk around this tree in my backyard, and I would just do my 25 over and over and over and over again. I did it like 15 times a day.
Amazing.
A few hours a day. So that if it ever happened, so it was like when it's time to shine, I'm ready to fucking go. You know
I
what I mean?
I love that.
So if I got fired from that, I would be
pissed, but
I would be upset, but I would be like, I'm taking my shot. Because what the fuck else is the point of being here?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
her thing was, if you showcase, this is a 6-month thing. If you showcase for her and she didn't like it, she'd be like, just come back in 6 months. Like, not she didn't like it. If she was like, see something but thinks you're not ready, she would tell you to come back in 6 months. Then you'd have to wait 6 months to re-showcase for it. That's the only 6-month thing I've ever heard of.
Wasn't she like, oh, you just come back the next month and be like, you told me to come back 6 months ago?
No, when she was that bad, she wasn't coming in as much.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, but before, she would remember your material that you did, and
damn,
she would fuck with you. She did it to so many comics. Brett Ernst. No, like, after, she goes, you did that joke when you, for a year and a half ago, you showcased for me. And Brett was like, you fucking remember that? Like, she did. She knew her shit.
Wow.
Yeah, she was on it. She just had her little whatever.
I do kind of wish that she had been around to pass me, or not pass me or whatever. But
she would have loved your preparedness.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
you're funny. You're hands down, like, hilarious. That's why I was like, how long is this guy doing?
I'm way lazier. I'm way lazier now.
Are you still homeless? I don't like
this. No.
Give me anxiety.
No. I'm far from homeless now. But I just, at the time, and I didn't necessarily have to be, but I remember my first like week here, I was crashing on another comic's couch.
Got it.
And I was like, that was my plan. I was like, I'll just go from couch to couch to couch.
Couch surf. That's a big thing out here.
But I remember I was there for 2 weeks, and I remember one of their roommates had like family coming in town, and so I had to find somewhere else to be. And I remember just thinking to myself, like, oh, this might not be something I can fucking do. You know? Like, just last minute having to find somewhere to stay and crash from place to place to place. I was like, what kind of fucking plan was that? You know? And so I went to the VA and I was like, yo, I need somewhere to stay.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And they were like, they put me in one place and another place. And I actually got kind of lucky. I ended up getting in Hollywood, which is like the best homeless shelter.
Okay.
Like when I was in the Marine Corps, I got put in San Diego, which is the best possible place I could have got stationed. In,
right.
Out of the whole Marine Corps.
Oh, yeah.
And when I was homeless, I got put in the best shelter that you could possibly get put in.
That's amazing.
It was still fucking shit, but it was better than...
Right, but it's better than... Yeah.
It was just for veterans, and it was just for Iraq and Afghanistan veterans.
Okay.
So it was all people my age. It was no, like, you know, Vietnam right. vets and shit like that. It was all people my age that been through the same shit.
I would feel like you have to separate.
Oh, well, it's just that, you know what it is that...
Because people think, right. You didn't have it as bad as me, or...
Well, it's just people from different eras got different shit going on.
Right.
And so it's just easier to give everybody all the services. It's like to cater the services to
yeah.
these people than it is to, like, try to take care of everybody, because then you end up taking care of nobody.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but it wasn't the worst time of my life, but it was...
But it's still pretty amazing, though, that you got through it. I mean, because what a hell of a story that you have to tell.
But I feel like that's part of... I feel like every comic is like, I slept in
true.
My car.
We had a lot more. Like, I can... I mean, we were joking. We have this guy, Mac Lindsay. I don't know if you ever met Mac. Mm-hmm. But Mac used to come out. He was living in a van. And we would always fuck with him in this van. But he would come out of the main room, that shower in the back. He would come out and stand on the main room stage in his robe, brushing his teeth. I'm like, dude, this ain't your house.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I go back there and I see body wash and shit. I'm like, who the fuck is showering back here?
But I thought they shut it down back then. I don't know.
Maybe
they lock it up now. But before, nothing was locked.
Yeah.
Codes were shut. Like, you couldn't get in the front door or any of the side door. But once you were in the building, you could go anywhere you want. Now it's all.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's all.
But would they let you, like, let's say you was a fitness person and you ran here and you wanted to shower when you got here. Would you think they would have a problem with that?
Oh, I don't think so. They just don't want people
living here.
Because there were a few.
Yeah.
It wasn't just one.
Yeah.
But they would come and shower. I mean, shit, Josh Martin lived in his car. You know, I mean, there was a lot of comics that lived
Ron
in their car for a long time.
But I feel like now it's become so romanticized that, like, the fucking trust fund comics, they come here and they live in their car.
I'm living in my car.
Even though they don't have to, you know.
Yeah, you're like, but you have money.
Right, why the fuck are you living in your car?
I mean, it's a nice BMW, but let's get a place. It's crazy.
Sell that BMW and get a fucking rent a room. What are you doing?
Do anything. Because at the shelters, don't they have a time? Like, you have to be in a certain time?
That was my biggest challenge. Not only was there a curfew.
Curfew is what I...
There was piss tests, too. Random piss tests.
Oh.
So you couldn't... You couldn't drink or do no drugs because they would do a breathalyzer too. And I remember, the thing is, you had to get a job because there were phases that determined what privileges you got or whatever, right? And to get from phase one where you basically got to do nothing, you know, you just could, you had to get a job.
Yeah.
Or go to school. And to get them to count comedy as my job, I had to agree to do a piss test and a breathalyzer every time I came in the house.
Oh, damn.
So but I didn't have a curfew like everybody else.
Okay.
So people complained about it. So the thing is, people was hating on me because I didn't have a curfew when I was supposed to.
But
so I had to fucking not fail none of them tests. You know what I mean? And I remember one time coming in, I got dropped off by some comics and they had a fucking, they were drinking a beer in the car, and I was like, oh, I'll throw it away for you. And the way he handed me the bag, I grabbed it wrong and it spilled all over my sleeve. Yeah. And I walked in the house just reeking of beer.
Oh.
But I still passed the test. But it was just one of them things where it's like, and then right at the end, like the last like month, I realized, oh, everyone in here is smoking weed, and they have like they had a way of beating the test that I just hadn't paid attention to.
Fuck.
And then that's when I started smoking weed again. but yeah, it was a learning experience in my life. Like, I needed some of the things that they did there. I think I still think they did some fucked up shit, but that's a whole other thing.
I feel like everywhere it's some fucked up shit, but.
But you know what? But you know what the shit is though is I feel like because people complain about all the scummy, shitty people in Hollywood,
mm-hmm.
but honestly. All the worst people I know are comics, but all the best people I know are comics.
Yeah,
I met like because I was just talking to Steve. I can't think of his fucking name.
Simone.
Steve Simone, nicest guy in the world, right?
The nicest guy in the world.
And we were just talking about
Philadelphia's own.
How people how every now and then you get that boost from somebody, whether it's a compliment,
yeah,
or like somebody ahead of you, whether it's a compliment or they just say good set,
yeah.
Whether they just give you a gig or something where it's like, oh, okay, I'm not wasting my time. So that's how I made it through that time. It was like I could have moved back home or moved to.
Yeah.
Well, actually, moving back home wasn't really an option, but I could have gone back to San Diego where I could afford it, you know?
Right.
But
you know what's funny? I could have gone back to San Diego where I could afford it.
Yeah, but
it's the most expensive place to live in America.
People believed in me. I mean, Adam believed in me first yeah. of all. He was just like, you're fucking funny. You know?
He's obsessed with you. He's yeah. like, I'm making him famous. I don't care.
I fucking hope so. Because I'm ready.
But I love that. I think that's amazing because you need
me too. Me too.
You need that person. Like he needs that person to inspire him, just like you need him to inspire you.
Yeah. Well, I told
you
him,
know
like,
what I mean. Like
I appreciate him so much, and it's like I don't want to kiss his ass. You know, I never did that.
Oh,
I never
smart.
Tried to kiss his ass or buy him gifts or none of that shit.
Oh, he wouldn't like that anyway because he'd feel that you're trying to do something.
But it's like what I know, what I learned about Hollywood is nobody wants to be the first one on your dick.
Yeah.
As soon they wait, everybody is waiting for somebody to hop on your dick before they. Because mm-hmm. the only thing they scare more of being the first one is being the last one. Right?
Yeah.
So it's like
I gotta get a bigger dick.
Right. No. But I mean, but you know what I mean? It's like nobody wants to be the first one to fuck with.
No,
you.
I know.
And
you're absolutely right.
And
though.
Him and he didn't need all that.
He didn't care.
He saw that I was funny and was like, I'm fucking with you. You know what
yeah.
I mean? As much as I can. Because I don't know how much power he has or doesn't have or how much. But back then, I'm sure he has way more power now than he did back then.
Yeah.
You know? But as much as he could fuck with me, he did.
Yeah.
Just because I was funny. Not because I had nothing to offer him. Not because I had no credits.
Right.
None of that. I ain't have shit going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Right?
So, just a bunch of gold.
Yeah. And I know and I know for a fact, too, that other little shit that's happened for me in my career has been because he has... Mm-hmm. You know, put a little bird in somebody's ear and
yeah.
And didn't say like he never takes credit for it. You know,
I love that.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Whereas like it's the autumn. Every time I thought about like I need to get the fuck out of here. There will always be something like that. Somebody like
yeah.
him to be like, I fuck with you. Hey kid, don't quit. Like one time it was D'Elia. One time okay. it was Steve Simone.
Yeah.
You know, another Aww. Time it was Tom Segura. I was about to leave like 6 months ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, and...
Because it's hard. I mean, yeah. it's not like...
And Christina P. and Segura was like, you better fucking not. You a pay regular. You better not leave. I had just gotten past,
I love
right?
that.
But they were like, no. I was like, well, if... Because my attitude was, I was like, everyone keeps telling me I'm so funny.
But nothing's happening.
But funny ain't... Yeah, so if... But if it ain't leading nothing, then funny don't matter. So I might as well get the fuck up out of here. I might as well go to New York.
You better not.
Right? But then she broke it down. Like, no, motherfucker. Like, you three years here. You pass. You go to New York, you got to start over.
Yeah, you do have to start over.
It's already people fucking with you here. You just don't see it yet, but just fucking don't leave.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, like, what am I thinking? Like, how entitled am I to be like, it all should be happening now, you know? But it's like.
But we all get like that. That's normal. That's like
You know what it is? The lesson I had to learn was that. Because you feel like you go from nothing to, and you feel like getting shit is the next step.
Yeah.
But it really isn't. Not getting shit is the next step.
Yeah.
So it's this whole phase where you go from nothing and then not getting shit. But not getting shit still feels like nothing.
Yeah, of course.
You know, so you don't realize that you've taken that next step. Because you're uh-huh. being considered for things.
Yeah.
But oh, you ain't shit. Getting them.
Yeah.
So you feel like you ain't getting shit.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get one thing. And again, once one person starts fucking with you, everybody else starts going, oh my God, they fucking with him over there. Let me see what he's about, you know? So it's one of them.
Chicks, bro. Yeah.
Chicks, bro. Is right.
That's
Rick's
how it
back,
is.
Plus, it's also, I think when you got, sometimes you got certain strikes against you. Like if you over 35, you know
Why'd
I mean?
You look at me like that?
I'm talking about
I'm
me.
I'm kidding.
Because like I'm over 35.
I'm way over 35,
I'm black,
buddy.
I'm overweight.
You're black?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
And it's like when you any of them things, and there's other shit too.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
You have to be
straight. I don't like that.
Right.
Straight.
You got to be extra.
Extra
like
whatever
they give you this extra scrutiny. Because I've seen kids come here, was like they've been doing comedy for 2 years. They got a tight 10.
Yeah,
and they young, beautiful,
dude. When
they missing an arm or something, and Holly was like, "Fuck yeah, give him a Comedy Central Presents or whatever," you know.
Dude, when I was 23 and terrible at comedy, I had way more people interested in working with me than a 37-year-old who's good at comedy. Like, yeah. Genuinely, like, had people, managers and agents that would come and talk to me regularly. And, like, I never got anything out of any of it. I never really ended up working with them, but they would still come to, oh, man, you're such a bright future. We gotta work with you. But now, like, I could go up and crush in front of just industry, and they'd be like, nothing we can do with that.
Right.
You're how old? Sorry, son.
Yeah, but, you know, I always get told, like, in a panicking whisper, don't tell people fucking how old you are.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know.
Maybe
it has hindered me in some way, but
it's certainly
keeping it real.
Me.
I always say keeping it real.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking the truth, it will hold you back in this country.
It's true. It's true. But I don't really give a shit. Like, people, I've done sets where I've crushed, did great. People go, man, you are great. How old are you? Like. Oh, does that change everything?
Yeah.
But I think that's what they meant.
You're and mature enough to be this good, so it's not as impressive at
like,
this point.
Like, well, my eggs are dead. You do the math.
Right.
Kidding. They're still kicking. I'm Irish.
You're Irish. You got
you
a solid.
A
you got another 15 years.
Yeah, it's weird, but I don't know. I feel like whatever I'm going to get out this shit, it's going to be all stand up. So whatever, all that other shit, I can't even concern myself with that shit.
No, you're right. And you shouldn't do that to yourself. You shouldn't worry about, like I try to say, you shouldn't worry about what everybody else is doing. Just stay in your lane. Know you're doing great. Mm. No, like, you love Dom Irrera. I love Dom Irrera. I called him. I had a bad set in Vegas. I said, Dom, I'm so embarrassed. It was a professional show. I bombed really bad. And he's like, Al, what are you worried about? You're going to bomb a million more times.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God. But you're right. Like, he wouldn't lie to me. You know, he's like, it's going to happen a lot. Just brush it off, dude. Shit's going to be good. Shit's going to be bad. Just keep going.
I convince myself anytime that I'm like, fuck, I've been doing this too long and it's not working, which is probably about
every
12
day?
Times a month.
Oh.
Every
wow.
other day. Okay. Some days I'm just oblivious. But I always think the advice I got from Robin Williams, I said, you know, I can't get anyone to notice me. You know, I do a lot of crowd work, and everyone tells me I just need to stop doing what I'm good at and start focusing on just doing straight jokes like a normal comedian. He said, I mean, you can try and be like all the other people, and you'll probably get little spots on sitcoms here and there, or you can become a master at being you, and you'll eventually thrive, or you'll completely fail. But if you thrive, then you're going to be an enormous star and not that guy who was on 35 different sitcoms for 2 episodes each.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, all right, so I'm going to be a star if I just keep doing it. And then every day I'm like, that motherfucker lied to me. He lied to me, and then he killed himself so that he couldn't laugh at how miserable I'm going to fail.
I don't mean the curse on the improv. I mean on the podcast.
Yeah.
I got to go to the
all right.
improv.
Do you have social media stuff?
Yeah, what's your social media?
I'm BS Comedian on Instagram.
BS?
Yeah, BS Comedian.
Okay.
And my podcast is BS with Brian Simpson. And
Brian Simpson.
My Twitter is Short Wide Neck.
Short Wide Neck.
Yeah.
I like that.
Wide as in double wide trailer. Short Wide Neck.
Nice.
Why double wide trailer?
Because sometimes people misunderstand what I say when I say wide.
Oh, okay. Did you ever play football?
Very briefly.
You have a neck for it.
I wrestled, though.
Oh, I'll wrestle you right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a wrestler. A real wrestler.
Word?
Yeah. Wow, Women of Wrestling.
She was a pro wrestler.
Oh, that's not real wrestling.
Hey.
Whoa, watch your mouth there, Frankie.
I'm sorry.
You're talking to one of Harley's Angels, bro.
Oh,
you don't mess
nuts?
Around.
Wow.
Is this one of those BS things you're talking about?
Eleanor, this guy was wrestling. They didn't even have ropes on the ring.
What kind of shit
just
is
a couple
that?
Of dudes groping
Bunch
each other.
Of sissies, huh?
We did have intro music.
Yeah?
That's pretty cool.
Can you do a drop kick?
No.
I can't. Fall flat. Sorry, that came out.
Yeah, it did. You got
you know
really.
I
think we knew.
Yeah, but that's all I got. What y'all got? Social media.
Social media. They all know ours. EJ Kerrigan. They put it up because we put it on YouTube now.
Okay.
So, yeah, they'll put it up. They'll put your stuff up, the podcast, all your stuff.
They got crazy. Y'all got crazy. Oh, that's the camera right there. I never looked at it.
Yeah.
Ew.
Damn. Damn. Hell yeah.
You know?
Dude, that was fresh as fuck.
By the way,
I got to shine for you. Hey.
Always know where the cameras are.
Exactly.
It's another thing in Hollywood.
Damn. See, I knew I was going to learn something from
you. Hollywood and robberies. You should always sew with the camera.
Smart.
Kind of like your friend.
If you're smoking blunts.
Friend that pushed you in front of the camera. He knew where the cameras were.
Let's go do some drugs.
Yay. All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thanks
for
listening.
Subscribe.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. True. Tell a friend. I'm in Phoenix, House of Comedy, April 24th through the 28th. And that's it. There's a bunch of other stuff coming up with Dice, but that's his money, not mine.
That's right.
All right.
Thanks, guys. Peace.
Come to the Comedy Store. Support. Thank you. Bye.